tune in to the Atomo podcast every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time at SkidRowStudios.com.
Okay, I gotta say the Pacific.
Ah, fuck, I hate my voice. Fuck! Hate it.
Jesus Christ, I hate this shit.
Oh, man.
Do you guys like talking to me and hearing my voice? Because I would fucking hate it.
Stop right
there. Let's try it again. That's not right, right? Yeah. Let me try it again. Ah, please listen Pacific time. Hi, this is Vince. Listen. Ah, fuck. Everybody's looking at me and shit. You guys are probably noticing how fat I am right now. You're like, man, how sweaty I am. Hi, this is, you're listening to the wrap-up show with Gary Jabate and John Hine on Howard 101. Hey, this is Vince. Listen to the More Music Radio Pod every Thursday night, 10 p.m. to midnight Pacific time on SkidRowStudios.com. Fuck your mama.
Hey, mama.
Got his gay face on.
Yeah, he did.
And we're back. All right, thanks for hanging in there. And Skid Row Studios has so many great shows. Special thanks to JFRocks.com and Jeff Fiorentino for our opening music and our closing music. And thanks to all the other great shows on the network for really taking off. We've been really growing, and we also got accepted to Audible.com. We'll have more information next week's show, perhaps, on how you can benefit through Skid Row Studios. There's all sorts of free shit, so we'll get into that. We're going to continue our commentary for Adventures in Babysitting. We are outside the Silver Dollar Room with the kids, heading towards camera, and we're going to restart the movie in 3, 2, 1, and here we go. Ooh.
That looks like Chicago, Keith.
These kids are happily walking along in Chicago. This is like the riverfront walk.
Yeah.
With a fake building right stuck there, right in the middle of the whole thing.
Were those doubles or was that you?
Those are totally doubles.
Those were they? That's why I said those kids as opposed to, right, okay.
That's not us.
Yeah, no, I don't, so much you don't remember. Really? It's funny, when you see the film later, you're like, oh, that's cool. They have all these other shots and stuff that you weren't a part of. And other times you really don't feel that a 6 foot two guy represents your like 5'5" frame. And you'll get the clothes back. They're all sweaty.
Mm. Yeah. They don't bother washing them for you.
Sometimes you're both units are going at the same time and you're, you know. It's like, you know, making movies sometimes is uncomfortable.
I feel like that's the kind of thing you should probably put in your rider. Oh, wait.
Won't wear other people's sweaty clothes.
Laundry is required between shooting days.
This was also kind of part of the audition scene. It was actually half L-Train sequence scene and this together. They cut them up later, but this was part of asking her out and getting shut down. No acting.
This was actually not in the script. This is that moment where you walked up to her and asked her out, and she just, yeah. You know.
Nice, long, steady cam shot. It's a nice single take. Very proud. Very hard technically. We were all over the place. And there's Chris Columbus's wife, Monica Devereaux, playing a 17-year-old runaway prostitute.
Wow. Yeah. Honey, listen, I have a role for you in this movie, but...
He's like, oh my God.
I want to discourage you from any kind of method preparation.
Like, this is a Disney picture, right? Are we really?
In the 80s, though.
As long as you tell her to go back home, you know, or whatever. Get up with
clean up your life.
Better. Jesus can save you. Jesus.
Yeah, because Disney's so pro-Jesus.
Brenda. Oh, we got to remind us of what story is going on. Back to Penny Ann Miller, also in the shadow. And
Men of a Certain Age.
Men of a Certain
played
Age?
Played Ray Romano's ex-wife. She was great.
I thought that was your role in that.
I know. I once seen with her. We both worked with Penelope Ann Miller, Keith Coogan.
That's right.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah.
What are you doing later?
I don't Probably involving you and rum. Some sort of regret.
Making a tree fort. Ooh. What is this?
Sounds like a hell of a night. Rum, tree fort,
yeah,
regrets.
Come on, why not?
I'm in. Whether you want me there or not, I'm in.
See, she did do some horror pictures, didn't she? Penelope Miller.
She
a hell of a scream.
She did her own film. She starred in The Gun in Betty Lou's Handbag, which I was sick the day it played. It didn't last.
It only played one day.
I don't think they.
Okay, so these guys, these rappers, outside were hanging around the set and rapping, and they go, "Hey, would you mind standing over here, and we'll have you run by, and you'll be in the shot and everything." Like, you got to talk to our manager. And so they negotiated.
No. Nice.
For some cash to be
good
in that
them.
Shot.
That's awesome.
Good for them.
Which one was their manager?
It was their Uncle Lenny.
That's Deborah Hill's father, the producer's dad. Little cameo.
No, she passed away, yes?
She did.
Yeah.
We lost her. Linda Oops was excited. I tweeted about the... A show tonight, Linda got the other producer.
Oh, yeah?
Who's got a later cameo in the French restaurant scene.
So you tweet her.
I'm going to touch you now, and I'm going to breathe and intimidate you.
Why are you looking at AJ?
Why is the higher-up guy a white guy in the criminal organization and the minions are black? John, you're the racial expert.
How Help dare us. You?
Yeah, John.
Stop sticking up for Gabe.
I'm glad I'm out of this.
We'll bring the Jews, the Italians, and the mix all into this in a minute. Hold on.
By the way, did you tweet Lisa? Tell her about the show tonight? Because there she is coming in the... No, I'm
really on the L train, on the loop, around Chicago, about three nights. A couple of soft show focus shots. We've got to reshoot. This is two cameras. Big wide shot and a close-up running. Usually running about 2-3 takes for each thing. And this was the gang sequence that we wanted this to be one of those ones, you know, kind of remember, stick out in the movie. And we had been part of the audition scene too. And you'll recognize the gang members from Got Everything, Hill Street Blues and Law and Order. There's Anthony Rapp's brother on the right, white guy holding a pipe.
I see a screensaver.
You do? Oh, okay.
Trust, that's his Anthony Rapp's brother.
This is when the movie.
That's what he
trippy.
Looks like from here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there we go. Oh yeah, it is a white guy. This is the
hardcore.
Rainbow
He's
gang. Like, we're like, one's gonna be in blue, and one's gonna be in red, and we're gonna really kind of mix them because we got notes on the blues bar scene.
Oh really?
One of them is leaning towards like Puerto Rican, and one's leaning towards Latin. I think. No, it's very. Very close. Very mixed.
I'm waiting for him to break into song.
Little gumballs here.
I like the guy with the
looks
ass.
Looks like Andrew Devoff in the back playing an early... Rocco Bronchi, the stunt coordinator, is behind him. He's one of the little... There he is with the like
with the
80s
cap.
Pomp. Italian-looking guy. He was fun to hang out with. Like break into things. This
badass Coogan right here.
Can't stop looking at the guy with the tie ascot thing. Can you get into a gang with that? You'd be killed as soon as you approach them.
There's an undercover
cut off vests is questionable.
Well,
dude.
No, that's all right. That flies, but like, that's my thing. I wear the ascot. He's that guy.
The darker colored gang, the blue gang, doesn't seem to be as coordinated. They didn't have the budget for costumes. Like, just bring what you got.
We're working at it. They're
yeah.
Ooh.
Now, what happened there? Was that your foot?
Yeah, it was my foot.
That was your foot?
Yeah.
And how they did, was it a reverse camera shot? They
Absolutely.
Pulled the knife out. All right.
Thank you.
No, they actually,
filament,
they
stuck it
really
in,
did that.
Pulled it out.
Yep. Hollywood magic.
Good stuff.
Did they stick the knife in and then you put your foot in the shoe? Or was it just, let's hope we don't get a piggy? Doom.
Oh, no. It was the whole thing of slitting the shoe. And then later matching up where the stitch on the foot would have been with the shoe. And they were all over it. Trust
and
me.
Elizabeth
there was
shoe.
Experts I'm working Ooh. On this picture. It was like at least two or three people per department. That was a good
You look in person. Serious pain there. That's some brilliant acting.
How do we make it? How do we connect the two locations? Oh, let's throw up a fake hospital sign. That'll work.
It's convenient.
She kept cracking up every time. She's like, guys, take him to the hospital. She kept cracking up because it was just such an overt gag. We did a lot of stuff kind of to camera or for the sake of, you know, a gag for the audience. We'd watch the Marx Brothers. We mm-hmm. watched Arsenic and Old Lace. I think it was Day at the Races. Chris Columbus also wanted us to watch. It was After Hours, Day at the Races, and Arsenic and Old Lace. And what, he said, watch Cary Grant for the physical humor.
Oh, he was brilliant.
Mm. Watch Day at the Races to keep stakes up during zaniness. They're like, and to keep things moving at pace, 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 pace. And After Hours was for the, he wanted a little bit of dark humor. The hospital. The worst babysitting nightmare would be, what do you not want to wind up with one of the kids in the fucking hospital?
I don't know. They were in some pretty crappy situations. I think the hospital is like a reprieve.
Yeah. But they'd like,
at least at the hospital, we were in a gang fight. Professionals to make sure they're okay. Like, you're in the chop shop, you know. You're in the blues club, you know.
We know.
John's worried about offending the unsavory customers of the Blues Club, of whatever persuasion they may be.
Just kidding around. This is fun.
This was shot right outside the Associate Center set. They just built a little hot dog area because this wasn't part of the original bus station. And that's the head of the extras union in Canada.
Oh, really?
He passed right after we did this picture. And he's hysterical. I don't have a wiener.
This guy's good.
Dr. Nook Bang. Dr. Nook Bang's great. Lower, less energy.
Oh. Is that was that his direction?
It had to. He's so good. Anyone see RoboCop? Quick RoboCop?
Yeah.
Remember the two girls having sex with cocaine with Jose Ferrar?
I haven't had a loop.
When Boddicker comes over, there she is. Bitches leave. That's one of the nurse. That's one of the girls in RoboCop.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was like all over her.
Oh.
Crushing on everybody in this movie.
This is like an old, real hospital.
It was in use, though. It's like it was still open. The hospital was still in use.
No, it was like totally not in use.
Oh, all right.
My God, is that makeup around his eyes, or does he just look like
it
that?
It is makeup.
Okay. So. Just an extremely unfortunate individual.
Oh. Cross the eyes and pass out. Very funny.
She does that exact feint in Back to the Future, too.
What did Michael J. Fox say?
He does faint right back in Back to the Future.
She faints like that. She crosses her eyes.
She says some of the same. Do you have any idea what I've been through tonight? She says in Cocktail. Do you have any idea what I've been through? And she says it the exact same way as she says it in Adventures of Babysitting.
And then she faints.
There's certain things Lisa winds up doing.
It worked.
Fainting.
She didn't faint in The Karate Kid.
Good faint thump. The Playboy just sticking out. No, don't mind this girl running around with a Playboy sticking out of the back of her Gremlins backpack.
Is that a Gremlins backpack?
Yeah.
So great. We got to do a commentary on that, Keith, even though you're not in it. I love Gremlins.
Got real quiet on that Gremlins comment.
I'm thinking.
Thinking of not getting Gremlins. I'm so upset. No.
you went out for that, though.
Word. Yeah.
And Corey got it.
Mm-hmm. You went out for everything. Yeah. You went out for everything. Last Starfighter, The Outsiders, the Explorers.
Well, he didn't get any
Gremlins,
of those.
Goonies, everything.
Did you go out for those too?
Yeah, Stand By Me, wow. E.T., just The Shining. Just over and over, you go out for everything.
You went out for Flight of the Navigator? Or were you too old by that point?
I don't know. I don't think I don't remember that. I don't remember if I did. I was in The Cat from Outer Space. It was actually my first on-screen appearance on film, but I was an extra on a skateboard, and they cut the whole scene out.
In what?
I'm not actually in it.
In what film?
My first job on a film set was The Cat from Outer Space. Yeah.
What film is that?
The Cat from Outer Space? Disney, come on. Meow.
Yeah, John, are you familiar with movies at all? Meow. I mean,
I didn't hear what he said, but I have seen it. Isn't, you know, a cat in that? There's a cat in it.
I think he's from outer space.
Yeah.
It'd be horrible if there was a big boom shadow or something like that.
I love looking for those.
Yeah. You're that guy. Oh, wait, pause it. No, go back. I saw a boom. The worst guy to watch a movie with. No, we don't care. Nobody cares. I'm not saying that.
I love looking for booms and finding them.
It's a pretty decent mirrors. One. When they run out of the hospital, there's a decent boom shadow right on one of the pillars.
It happens. It's hard to do, man. That's and a we're tough moving on. Job.
That is a very tough job.
I would never want that. But there's
God, how they tied guys. These sets together. I don't even remember the geography, but that's a fake hospital driveway they entirely built with an ambulance just to link the frat house to the hospital. So they were miles apart, but somehow brought them all together.
Same script supervisor in the whole movie, or did they split them up, Canada and United States?
They had to
States?
Split them up. No. I think we kept Sue Richards. Sue Richards was script supervisor, and I think we kept her.
Speaking of tough jobs, yeah. Script supervisor.
Oh, God. It's a nightmare.
This one was window up, three-quarter, sleeve vest down. She was fucking all over it.
Amazing.
One of the best script supervisors. Southside Johnny and the Jukes.
I mean, worth their weight in gold. Like,
there's Elizabeth Shue dancing in a black cap and sunglasses in the frat party she's actually looking at.
So, now,
in the crowd scene.
On the film Cloud Atlas, the script supervisor was the girl in Raiders of the Lost Ark who closed her eyes and said, "Love you," on her eyelids.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she's now a script supervisor. Amazing, too, Julie Brown.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would never be able to get over the love you thing.
I gotta, I'll have to show it to you.
Did you get her autograph?
The picture.
Did you get a picture? Did you get her to write love you on her eyes and take a picture with her?
I tweet her.
There's David Simpkins on the left in the gray sweatshirt with the glasses, the writer, playing one of the frat brothers. George Newbern's just so cute.
He was in Father of the Bride with Steve Martin, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. What else did he do? You don't see him around too much. At least I haven't.
Not in a while. He used to work all the time.
Yeah.
Basically, anyone with red hair in this scene is either related to Elizabeth Shue or Chris Columbus. They're all like brothers and sisters-in-law. There's a brothers and sisters family, Monica Devereaux, or it'd be Elizabeth Shue's brothers and sisters. The kid from Melrose Place, Andrew Shue.
Never watched it.
Never watched Melrose Place?
No. I wasn't born yet.
Okay. It's a terrible show, but it was great. At the time, it was just total zeitgeist. He was roommates with Courtney Thorne Smith in Melrose Place.
Oh, yeah? Did you ever have any famous roommates?
Gabe Jarrett from Real Genius.
Oh, yeah? That was the friend of Val Kilmer, right?
Yeah, Gary Lockwood from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, that's...
He played...
He was your roommate?
Bowman. I rented a room in his
that's cool.
Las Flores.
I went hiking in the canyon with him last year in Malibu.
Mm.
And the kid who was your roommate, his dad directed Going Ape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wrote Every Which Way But Loose.
That's right.
Jeremy Joe Crunsberg.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. We have a lot in common, Keith Coogan.
There's... You're tall, and you probably have a really short dick.
What is that?
Wow.
What is happening?
I would see women
earlier,
your life
John, and so now everybody's
dick.
Turned on you.
Yeah. Did you drink enough rum before you came over?
I didn't have anything.
Okay. You should have.
It was laced in his Chipotle.
Chipotle.
So maybe something wasn't a Chipotle.
If the food's good on a movie, you don't remember it. If it's bad, you go, God, what awful food on that movie. I think the food was awesome.
Really, you liked it? Even in Canada, the whole
food
film.
Was banging.
Yeah.
You don't remember the food or you don't remember the film if it's awesome?
You don't remember the food.
Oh.
If the food's awesome,
you don't
remember it. Because you remember the bad food. You remember the bad food.
What's your favorite dish? That you had on set.
I was about to say it's Lisa.
Lolita Davidovich coming up in the next scene. She went as Lolita David here, and it was before doing a Jade with David Caruso.
Oh, boy.
Original written for the film. Song that Southside Johnny wrote.
Man, that guy's just looking right in the camera.
We need a song that's really weepy and Brad's going to watch and be really jealous. And And she might be crushing on this guy. Can you write this? And in 2 days, they're like, here's the song. It was perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the second AD.
That's amazing.
All sorts of cameos. The crew always has to hop in.
That was your second AD?
That was our second AD.
Wow.
Gets a huge laugh. That horn scene got a huge laugh every time. It played well at New Beverly. I really appreciate the people coming out and loving it. They loved it. Toy Soldiers, they had fun. But Adventures of Babysitting, they were really having fun. People genuinely seemed to be along the ride.
Aww.
No. Puppy dog eyes.
Poor Cougs.
Poor Cougs.
This is my wheelhouse, people. This is what I do. I look sad.
Now, what were you actually looking at?
Them standing there.
Were you?
Yeah, she was standing right there off screen. She was totally there for us. And
that's great.
Doing it, they're doing the dialogue and everything like that. There she is, Lolita Davidovich. So hot. She was called the dumb blonde in the script. I want all actors to. You could be black guy. You could be
yeah,
dumb blonde. But whatever the part is, fuck that. If you have a take on it, don't let whatever it says in the script make you feel insecure when you're going on the audition. Like, oh, they're not going to want me because I have blue eyes. Fuck that. They'll do it in digital, whatever they need to. It doesn't matter. And just leaving her name as dumb blonde in the credits is hysterical. No attempt to dye her hair. She's got a good sophomore 20 on there and around her chin. But she's young. She's very young, but probably 20 years old here. There's her brother, and Lisa Shue's brother to the right, dancing.
Are you blue screened in there? That looks so weird.
Lots of backlight.
Now, Keith, is it weird looking back at your work when you were a kid watching yourself grow up? I mean, that's got to be pretty cool.
A long time ago, I learned to not beat myself up over stuff that I see that it was like, oh, I wish I did a different choice. Fuck it, you did it. They printed it. Just that's a reminder. Always be ready when they're rolling. Mm-hmm. It could be forever. Mm-hmm. And you might have to watch it again and again and do commentary.
So I bear it.
And there's times when I bear it, and every once in a while, 2-3 moments out of a whole picture where I'm like, all right, that's cool. I was proud of myself there. Most of the time, though, you're like, it's tough. You're critical. You're very critical. I'm very serious about my comedy, and I do. I take a lot of notes, and I prep a lot, and I get, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, 80% more that you don't see that I've been ready to do. And like I said about props, and I always go to the location, work with the people in wardrobe and props, and I always get stuff that can be character based, and it feeds back. They start bringing me things. Look at this, and they've written in the journals, and they've made notes in the calendars and stuff, and set dressing, even smaller parts on film, like hiding out. They were all about like helping me. They really can. If you pick up and start using their stuff, they appreciate that, and as a department, they think of you the next day when they're putting together the props and the set dressing for the next day. And you hang up your clothes at the end of the day, no matter how sweaty, smelly, yeah, they got to go put in laundry and probably wash it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're going to go grab it and do second unit and set it on fire and you're going to get fresh clothes. You don't know. Hang your shit up.
A lot of actors don't do that.
12 fucking hours. That's fine. I know that's your department, but isn't it nice to have a camera and marks and lights there already when you get to set? Other people help you prepare for when you get there, so why don't you help them prepare for their department? Your shit was hung up when you got there. Hang that shit up when you're done.
I agree.
Yeah, nobody thinks about that either. Nobody thinks about, yeah, okay, an actor works, say you're on, you know, a feature film, you're doing 16-hour days. The actor's got the shortest work day of anybody. So if you're there 16 hours, that means your wardrobe people, your makeup people, your gaffers, your grips, those guys have all been there at least 2 or 3 hours longer before you got there and will be there when you leave.
It's true.
So you got to treat those folks with respect. I can't stand these actors that are like,
leave all the
I'm
shit
the star
all over
of the
floor.
Show. Like, yeah. It's like, you know what? Fuck you, dude. Mm-hmm. You work. These people are working so much harder than you are.
And they do it in cargo shorts. It's amazing.
I mean, think about it.
It's snowing and they're wearing cargo shorts.
You're paid to play act. You know, you're paid to play. And
a lot of money.
You're paid a lot of money to get up and pretend you're somebody fucking else.
You're right.
you know, these people are hanging lights. They're holding your boom. They're making sure that your clothes are there when you get there. They're making sure your props.
Make sure the catering is good.
Making sure the catering.
I wonder if there'd be a camera shadow on that motorcycle as the camera moved across.
No.
I think maybe on Blu-ray you might be able to see it.
Who was your DP?
Rick Waite.
Oh, yeah. What else had he done, do you know?
I know he shot Great Outdoors. I think 48 Hours.
Some classics.
Yeah.
Great movies. Great 80s movies.
It sounds so cliche, but like they just don't make movies like that today.
You're absolutely right.
You know, those are such great movies. And you just, nothing holds. And that's, I think like that's, oh, this is the show.
Are we missing this reveal?
Yeah, I know, right?
As I was telling Gabe earlier, the lift went only up about 2 feet. They somehow made it look like they descended from the ceiling.
I know,
all
right?
Sorts of tricks, booming up and down and smoke and stuff and oiling him up.
Was that
method actor?
Was that
Meisner
something you
method.
Volunteered for?
I think
for?
He was Meisner method or Strasberg. He was always in character. He was always Thor or Dawson. And was scary as hell on the set. He really was. He was very dead serious. He's 6 months after shooting Full Metal Jacket. He lost all the weight and buffed up for Thor. Talk about discipline. Oh, you can't lose that last 10 pounds or, oh, I feel a little heavy. He turned from Private Pyle to Thor in 6 months. Very
crap,
impressive.
That's who he was?
Yeah, he broke De Niro's record from Raging Bull when he gained the weight for Full Metal Jacket. And shot it before, and then we shot this, released about the same time. We were doing our press release for press tour for Adventures of Babysitting. 11 cities, 9 days. And we were in Salt Lake City when they opened Full Metal Jacket. So me and Anthony Rapp went and saw Full Metal Jacket. Our jaws hit the floor. We couldn't believe that Vincent D'Onofrio, what he looked like in Full Metal Jacket. Amazing actor.
I still can't even see him in this. Like, I'm looking and it's
the hair. Yeah.
I know, right? Like, it does not look like him.
Maybe he's blonde girl.
That's what it is.
It's blonde girl.
She did cry. She brought a nice little tear. Certain scenes, the producers are like, this is what we need out of this scene. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how long it takes or what we got to do or how close to midnight we are.
We've got to get it.
We got to cry. You know, if it's out of focus a little bit, I don't care. Did she cry? We got it. And she did. She breaks my heart every time in this. And then smiles again.
Is he wearing a wig?
Total wig. And you know, so baseball cap over the wig. I learned this trick and use this for when I auditioned for Kenny for Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I bought a cheap wig, put it under a baseball cap.
Yeah.
And because you could kind of pull it. It doesn't look as bad as a wig.
Right.
It looks a little Brett Michaels or a little rockin' 80s poison. I don't know. It's a little 80s. It's a lot 80s. Fuck, that's a waterfall mullet. It's a Kentucky waterfall. That's a Mississippi mud flap. He's got golden locks. He's totally Thor. Look at his belt and his vest. That's good costuming for Thor.
They could have dyed his eyebrows, man. Yeah. That would have been.
That's in the Blu-ray.
Hey, what happened to the bad guys? Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. Shit. In the black car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. Was that offensive?
Oh, this was all supposed to be a...
No comment. Yes, Keith.
Yes. That's it.
What were you saying?
Nothing.
How dare you? I'm trying to watch the movie.
If you did an impression of the black car, then it would get dicey. How does that car sound?
Yeah, what would he say?
Where's passenger?
Pixar presents.
Black cars.
Black cars.
Wow, are you the black car?
Tyler Perry's.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Medea's Adventure in Babysitting.
Are we in a car again? God, we're fucking back in the car. We had to...
You spent the whole movie trying to get back in the car.
Did everybody go to the rap party?
We had a few. We had a rap party in Toronto, rap party in Chicago.
Yeah. Any memorable...
And then they took us to Disneyland when we rapped in LA. So we had kind of like three different rap parties.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And really, the rap party in Toronto was because we did leave a lot of the Toronto crew. We left hair and makeup. They had done hair and makeup on
the Union
Breakfast Club.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The hairdresser had, or makeup artist, I think, had broken her foot between the set of the gym. I mean, the set of the library and the gym. They built the set of the library in for Breakfast Club.
Yep.
All the wires and twisting cables. She was running to set and twist and broke her ankle and did the rest of Breakfast Club with the crutches or whatever. They had this great Canadian crew and had to lose them all and went to Chicago.
Did you ride the Matterhorn with Elizabeth Shue? That's all I'm coming back to. Back when it was the two-seater.
I don't care if you're with this person. For something?
I'm sensing something real happened here. How about Thor?
Yeah, did you ride the Matterhorn with Thor, Keith?
I would have ridden the Matterhorn with Thor.
With the blonde wig.
I wouldn't have gotten on unless that was a part of the deal.
Well, you look at Vinny D, he's all greased up.
He would slip out of the Matterhorn.
Yeah, this is the Sesame Plexer I'm talking about. Oh, God.
That's some
hair. Roll your eyes.
Oh, my God. Look at that hair.
As much as you can roll them.
Careful, they'll get caught in the hair.
There's a lot of big hair going on.
Yeah.
Yours, too. Look how young he was, man. That's crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah.
He is not getting a second date with that girl.
Her world is falling down around her.
Now, Chris Columbus, does he tend to do a lot of takes?
No.
He doesn't?
No, he does not.
Oh, yeah?
Two or three takes, max.
That's it, and he moves on. He had a lot to do.
We do good coverage.
Yeah.
And it's just right. He does not overshoot it. He shoots what he needs. The bigger the set piece, the more he covers his ass. And, you know, like I said, we had a lot, four cameras on the Blues Bar sequence. Most of the time we're rolling with two, though. And I think that's how, funny, I read a quote just yesterday, David Simpkins, they were interviewing him about the movie. And he was on set writer too. He was on set all the time. He could fix stuff if we needed, ran into trouble. He said, they asked him, what was it like shooting Adventures of Babysitting? He said, hectic.
Hmm.
And as an actor who's spoiled to death, as you get there and, oh, where the fuck do you think these trucks came from? And who built that set? And, you know, oh, are you hungry? Someone's been here fucking making eggs for you, okay? So the actors don't see the hecticness of it. And that was one thing. Chris Columbus had the calmest, coolest way of making it feel like it is about us, four kids, and made it about the little moments. A little look between us was more important than this whole other set going around us. And that's when you keep, there's Linda Opes, the producer, going, oh my God, holding her earring.
The girl in the white.
Yeah.
Now,
cutting back and forth from Chicago, Toronto, I can't even keep track at this point. This is the exterior of the actual hotel we're staying in while we're shooting the movie.
One question, does he let you improv?
Only in rehearsal.
Okay.
We improved all the death in rehearsal, and then we got a great, we really did come out with a completely different script. Most, you know, they'd kind of they got rid of a lot of the ridiculous stuff like the Chicago Bears and stuff. They kind of whittled it down to manageable set pieces, except for the end building sequence. They're like, we're going to use every trick in the book. We got models, miniatures, back, you know, front projection. We're going to, you know, build sets, and we're going to put it all together. And, so it was a lot of old school tricks. God, that building just shows up everywhere.
And it's always facing the same direction.
It's always got the
always front facing the same direction.
You wouldn't recognize it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you see it from the back. It's just another fucking building. Might not even see it.
Well, we have, this is my 17th birthday was the day we shot this. And at this point, we'd really got a lot of dolly shots, and he's got a lot of like pushing and zooming and dollying around, and Chris has got a firm hand on movie, and we are cranking out. We're shooting 9 pages a day.
Wow,
it's a huge movie. Jeez. Yeah.
Did you discuss the what's it, Playboy?
Yeah.
Did you discuss it? Was Elizabeth Shue who really went and did that photo shoot?
Yeah, at one of the Playboy mansions. And they used a Playboy photographer, and they got a sign off from Hugh and the whole Playboy brand. And you see her back. There's no nudity. There's a boa covering her. You see like the back of her face and her, you know, neck and her back.
Were you there for that?
No.
Keith was wrangling the boa.
They were actually shooting already, and they had to fly her to go do that. Like they finally got the permission. It was going to be like Play Stag or something like that. Stag Boy. I don't know. It was going to be a different thing. And they like actually got the permission. And so right when we were beginning shooting, she went and did that. And the finished art showed up on the set.
Do we actually see it? I don't remember. Do we see the photo in this? Like,
you see a centerfold. He unfolds it in the car. Right, yeah, and you see the writing on it. And it's really just all this feather boa and only her back shoulder. And she's looking over. She got this great smile.
A lot of work for.
And this is, we're cutting back and forth between the same set. Sarah is on this set, broken down to look like the under construction set above it.
And John McClane is somewhere in the.
Running around in the air.
There he is. I actually had the same thought. That was.
Holy. This was so pre Die Hard. I think we really set an important precedent in running around.
This is John McTiernan's favorite buildings. Movie.
You can grab cable off of spools. I mean, there's all sorts of shit you can do. That is a great translite. So translite is this huge kind of Mylar plastic thing, and they print a photograph on it, huge, blown up, and they light it from behind, and all the stars, all the lights in the buildings light up, and it looks photographing another photograph.
They paint the back of it. They paint the back with either flat black for empty space, or, you know, like to have different colored windows, they'll paint with different colors and whatnot. And so when it shines through, it looks incredible.
We hung cameramen outside of the Real Associates building, and they did take the background plates. That's a special effect. This is IntraVision. It looks just gorgeous.
Is that
in the background, you do see moving cars and stuff. And that's the beauty of this process, is that the background can be a live plate.
Didn't they use Superman? They did that for Superman.
Also, Aliens. Mm-hmm. When the dropship crashes.
Yeah. Great.
Game over, man. Game over. That's he really is. James Cameron is the master of front projection.
Looks so much better than CG. There's so much charm to it. Like,
yeah. It's magical.
And it works. It actually works.
I love it. They made Superman fly.
did they really?
They used Superman the movie.
And that was a process where they were able to sync the zoom of the background plate with the zoom on the actor. And that gave the illusion of him pulling away from the background and flying. Gabe taught me that. Didn't you teach me that?
Oh, yeah.
With Superman?
Like, yeah. No. We were talking about Jaws. We were talking about, I forget who it is now, but that scene where, you know.
Oh, I love the dolly zoom.
Yeah.
A little Marx Brothers coming up, right? This is my beat. Boom. I was like, is he going to keep it? And that was the great thing about Chris Columbus. You could come up with a joke like that, and even the cross going back, and he'll go, all right, we'll do it. And if it works, if he laughed on the set.
Is that your
idea? Yeah, that was my idea.
Oh, wow.
He's awesome. Like, if he laughs on the set, he'll go, all right, we'll keep it.
That's great.
And if everybody else is on board and they sell it, and everybody really sold that moment,
yeah,
I was happy for that. And there's so many other things. Everybody came up with so much great things. I, of course, am a narcissist, so I only remember the ones I came up with.
Was there just something that Elizabeth Shue would not do?
Keith.
Is there other than something? Keith.
Well, let me answer that for you, John.
I don't know, but they got her holding that bedpost at the beginning during the song, singing into this big
Phallic. Mm. I thought that too. Yeah. I was like,
ooh. It really is. honestly, they got her to do Playboy. They got her to.
Yeah, but they didn't get her to do full nude. Like, that's. No, she just refused.
She needs an Oscar nod for that.
Is there anything that you would do?
I noticed when they were selling the Blu-ray, they go Oscar nominated actor, Academy Award nominated, Elizabeth Shue. Adventures in
Was that for Leaving Las Vegas?
Blade Runner.
Yeah, it was for Leaving Las Vegas.
She's wearing her Blade Runner coat.
She is.
That's a Sean Young coat. It is.
I thought it was a Joanna Cassidy.
Well, you know what? They're there for when you're really you've been on set 14 hours, she's tired, couldn't keep her head up, so she puts on the jacket, and then it does all the work.
I'm a bad guy.
I'm evil because look at me.
It's eyebrows. He's all eyebrows.
Yeah, I know, right?
So now why did she have to go to the party? Oh, looking for Sarah. Okay. Why were they running around this floor for any damn reason?
You read the script.
I don't know. At one point, it makes no sense. You're like, what are we shooting?
We're watching. We don't even have subtitles. It's, you know, guessing plot from action.
Uh-oh.
And she's stuck outside the Equitable building in the background to make sure you know it's Chicago. And the parents are oblivious.
So many angles. How long did this take to shoot, this whole scene? You get to like half the cast in this scene.
Probably a week.
Yeah, it's a lot of coverage.
But they had also cut quite a bit. As of they had a running gag where the drunk guy that the mom is talking to at the very end there keeps running up to people going, I know you. Did I go to school with you? You look familiar. And he's really drunk. So at the very end, the mom's drunk and goes, I know you. You look familiar. And he goes, no, I'm sorry. I don't know you. They built this joke and all they left was the punchline. So you don't get any of the setup. That was all Second City. He built this whole gag.
That's great.
We skipped over damaged area.
We just skipped over damaged area. Yeah,
how much did we skip over? That was terrible. Weren't we like rescuing someone?
What happened?
Just rolls the credits.
We skipped over the climax of the film.
Yeah, wasn't
I? If you're at home listening,
something rewind, just
pause,
happened.
Stop, and.
We just hope you have a damaged area in your DVD too. So.
Where
in
were
the
we?
Same spot.
In the same spot.
Honestly, where were we?
I'm giving up on my cough button.
We have rescued her.
There we are. That's where we were.
Fleeing.
We basically pulled her in already, right? No?
No. No, we were there. We're there about to get on the elevator.
Okay. We had another glitch. Fresh DVD, and it's skipping over damaged area. So a lot of technical difficulties. But at this point, the girl's still outside the building, and the bad guy's moving to the side, looking down at her. She's scared. And we're running through the constructed thing up to the window right about now. That's a miniature with us inside.
What?
A live element.
What?
Yeah.
That's
the miniature
amazing.
Was on the Intravision soundstage. Yeah. So they would shoot the miniature and then use that as a background plate for the live action. And so you've got...
It's a big time movie, Keith.
Kind of neat. They used all the tricks. What's the trick? You never use the same trick in two cuts. So if you're doing a miniature, you have to cut to a front projection. Then you have to cut to an insert set. Then you can go back to a miniature, but you can't use the same trick in a back-to-back and a cut.
Hmm.
I've never heard that before. That's interesting.
Wait, I'm writing this down. Can you say that again?
I thought that was funny. I don't know why I thought it was funny, but I was amused.
Thank you.
I was amused.
I'm the hero. I get to pull her. I don't know why. Elizabeth Shue's got a much more upper arm strength. But
you're a man.
She pulled herself. You just
That's
because
you're her big brother.
Okay, if you're listening at home, there's a really creepy moment. She goes, oh, Brad. And it's really eerie. Should see Joe Gipp coming up to them now if it's caught out of sync, but... We're not out of danger yet. We knew there were so many little plot pieces. So Chris Columbus said, never underestimate the stupidity of your audience. Every plot point has to be said three times. And he wasn't bullshitting. They got to know the Playboys in there. We got to know the bad guys are after the Playboy. We got to know they'll kill them if they don't get it. We got to get home by a certain time. You get piling on the stakes and consequences. We separate them, lose the girl, get out, rescue the girl again. Classic kind of peril, an adventure.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. There's a little flirting going on between the babysitter and the car thief. I don't know.
Everybody's flirting with the babysitter.
Yeah, jeez.
It's like her adventure.
$8 an hour.
Skipping over damaged area. We just...
We are. It seems to want to really skip.
Oh, so that's what you're talking about. The disc has a malfunction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're listening at home, if your disc has the same thing, it's perfect.
We just skipped over 4 minutes. This went from 129 to 130.
This movie's now longer than Out of Africa.
Right. Oh, we it's still quite damaged and probably getting killed by...
Let's close our eyes and imagine
the bad guy.
What's happening.
I'm glad this isn't one of the Blu-rays.
Okay, for us, with our damaged DVD, this has just devolved terribly. With this damaged DVD, babysitting must be dangerous, and we're running now, getting into the car.
Did you buy this DVD from one of those dudes downtown?
It was $5. It was
unshrink-wrapped. Looks like this was shot at the New Beverly. Looks like they recorded it right off the screen.
Oh, no. It's another skipping over.
I know, maybe it's just overheating. And we've picked up Brenda and...
highlights in babysitting.
We got to get home. You know what? I've seen this movie 700 times. And as I was watching it maybe the other day to go, what am I going to talk about here? And I was trying to have a serious commentary before John Donahue cocked.
Whoa. So now I'm in trouble.
No. You were having fun. And thank you. I should have been having more fun. I was too serious.
We didn't have rules.
But I was watching it. I was like, I was skipping so much. I was like, all right, that scene. All right, that. It was the first time I was ever really... I'd just seen it too many times. I'd finally seen it too many times.
It's at least
200 times I've seen this fucking movie.
201 almost now until you're damaged area. Almost.
But there's damaged areas, so I'll have to find out. I mean, I guess it's where I could watch it again with some sort of commentary, but they didn't put any on there.
Mine.
So I tried to share. Yes. So here's another one. We shot many takes of like, how fast do your parents go? And I go, how fast do they drive? And I'm like, 45. I think at one point I said 35 and she goes, we'll do 80. So they had to keep one where it was like the highest one I'd said, which was like 45 or something. It was an absurd line, but they kept it. Dubatine, it's daytime. It's the same day that we shot leaving with when Anthony Rapp showed up.
So that's a black tarp.
It's a black tarp of 3 feet outside the door and you can see daylight underneath the
You
corner.
Actually can.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy crap.
It's the new print on the Blu-ray. Yeah.
All right. And the damaged... Undamaged area.
The TV is still on. God knows what the electric bill will be, but the TV is still on. And this big thing about the creeping eye. Could she stay up to watch the creeping eye? And they got licensing for the creeping eye, and it's in for 2 seconds, and they don't even mention the dialogue. All this stuff that is in the script.
Is there a scene in this that you wish was kept in that is not in here?
They really didn't cut anything.
Really? The whole movie is what we get.
They really didn't cut anything. If anything, there was a part... where we were running after we saw the prostitute before we ran to the L train sequence, we get chased by the car and we're weaving between the pillars as the car is weaving between pillars, hits some trash cans, and then we see the rap guys and we run up the stairs. So we kind of shot some of it, but not enough, and they just cut it. They just will have you walk from the riverfront and just kind of run up and see the car and then run up. And they cut probably a 2 minute chase sequence there.
This is very nice.
And the door slams.
Amazing.
Keith, and the parents are home.
In closing, some fond memories of the film. How would you sum this experience up?
Just being alone with per diem, traveling, and with this cast, and the great, you know, it was a great adventure. And I knew it was a pretty good, it was Disney and Touchstone and had good money behind it. There's the creeping eye. I'm a little curious about Brad's sexuality because the posters and stuff in his room are a little okay, but that's okay. It's good, like typical 80s, you know.
Remember Corey Haim's bedroom in the Lost Boys, Rob Lowe posters up? It wasn't that
bad. They'll always do that shit to you. You're like, oh, thanks for the awful Duran Duran poster. Appreciate that. Oh, you got the Smiths. Nice. Okay.
What's with the dildo?
This is the most John Hughes scene in the whole movie when we're talking at the end. It just felt reeked of Breakfast Club when
it's not a bad thing.
Shooting it. I mean, kind of 16 Candlesy too.
Not a bad thing.
Towards the end. And we shot it within the first week of shooting, so we're just don't know each other. We haven't been on the adventure, and we're acting here. We're pretending like we've been through this whole night. So we're having this fake, this maudlin, and this like sentimentality, and we haven't even, you know, done any of this stuff yet. So that's kind of neat. And do they really live right near a freeway? It's all the lights outside their window. It's a nice little feel good moment. And she might babysit again. She might babysit again. You know,
I think Disney cut in Jonah Hill walking in the next shot.
Hi. Heck, we make it a happy ending for the poor girl.
Yeah, she didn't get paid. There we go.
So her name is Sarah, S-A-R-A, in the credits. Sarah Anderson. And her skate says Sarah with an H. Why would she write her name wrong on her own and lost a found skate sticker on her own shoe? They spelled it wrong in art department. Sorry.
Well, she's props. A kid. Maybe she just can't.
Props, yes. Yeah.
Props was there 3 hours before the cast was that day. They were there for 3 hours when they left, Keith.
Who spells Sarah without an H?
They were tired. Just saying.
They were tired. I'm tired.
Things happen.
They're still very well lit in the middle of this inky black night. He's got very blue eyes. So she gets her guy. I think they like timed this wind to hit her little hair right here.
I hope everybody's machine was queued up.
Completely.
That's
queued after all of these things.
Oh, puppy dog eyes.
Yes.
This is the shot that always stuck out to me. I don't know. This was burned into my memory as a kid.
Keith and red sweater in the
yeah,
window.
It was like so sad. I was like, oh, womp womp.
He closes the window.
I
called this the iris out because I said, why don't we just have me watch and then close the blinds? And I consider that an iris out for him moving on from wanting her. Like, oh, she's moved on. I'm going to move on too. So he closes the blinds.
And your buddy slept over.
He doesn't watch him kiss.
I love the idea of him cutting back and you just see two little blinds spread.
Just an binoculars. Yeah.
The blinds start to move back.
There was a copy of the Playboy. He's like, Brad's like, we got the Playboy, right? All right, I'm cool. I'm closing these blinds.
Yeah. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Adventures of Babysitting Star.
Delayed reaction to the
end. Oh, and also, this is one of the earliest and longest credit sequences. Remember when movies started to have like 1,000 people in them for special effects and everything? It's not the amount of people are in the movie. It's the slowness of the credit crawl. If you look really close, dude, you can read every name. Janitor, nurse, blonde. Oh, there's blonde, Lolita David.
Rummy
old
Bishop.
Man. Okay, Teenage Runaway. I know that's the Monica Devereaux. Okay, I'm following you along. I said, Mater D, adulterer. I got you. That's the guy that fought the passenger, Marianne Kilman. Who the fuck is passenger? Seriously, bus station? It's not the eyeglass lady. She's in here too. I'm very upset.
It's 25 years ago, Keith. Get over it.
Chicano gang leader, Juan Ramirez. No, I will never get
you. Really, he's throwing chairs around the room. You guys can't see this at home, but he is
inconsolable.
Yeah. It's...
I'm upset, man. I also said, wouldn't it be funny if after the credits we cut back to a shot of the guy outside of the building still? They did it, and they put it in the movie. And at the end of the credits, we cut to a shot of the guy still hanging outside of the Associates Center. And that's fun. The movies now all do that. They always put something at the end. I'm totally taking credit for that.
And like, Sam Jackson's usually in it. Recruiting them.
Yeah, Sam Jackson actually walks up to this guy and says to him,
well, Judith Chris was right. This was fun-filled.
Full circle.
Thank you, Judith Chris.
Fun. Thanks for guys for coming in and helping me.
You're going to beat my ass after this. I'm not sure.
Thank you to the DVD player for being skipping over the damaged areas because they were apparently damaged. And thanks for listening at home. If you've been following along with your copy, I've added nothing. I can have fun. Oh, there's Sue Richards, script supervisor. See, I remember.
She just
people's
walked
names.
In. Hey, Sue.
I do hey, remember people's
hey,
names.
Hey, Beyond the Marquee. Yeah. I don't think I'll be on again, but thanks, Keith, for having me all these shows. This has been great.
Beyond the Marquee.
Can't believe it ends like this.
I'm not surprised.
God. Yeah. Well, no, that was good. Yeah, good times. Thanks for sharing.
That was fun.
Guys, appreciate
good time.
It. It was a good time in a young man's life.
Filled with fun and laughter.
Yeah. And supported well by them. And I the weekend it opened, I got the LA Times and I opened up the paper. There's a double page, full color spread of us on the building outside and all the reviews. There was like 10 different reviews. Go see. I think it opened fourth or third, I think it peaked at like fifth.
Do you remember what it was up against?
Everything. It was really, there was so many movies out there, but it was also
DC Cab.
It did good. It did 34 million at the box office back then. That's worth about 65, 69 million now.
Do you know what it cost to make?
About 8 to 12 million.
That's not
it's a negative pickup
bad.
For Disney, so it probably cost them $8 to make, and it probably cost Disney $12 to buy it from the producers. So producers probably made $4 million profit right when they finished shooting.
Oh, yeah.
And this is all guesses and rumors and innuendo and speculation.
Wonder what they spent promoting it. Like, at what point did they actually start turning profit?
I don't know.
Tonight.
Open for five to $7 million, I think, and hung in there for... good run.
Well, and this is back when they actually leave films in the theater.
Yeah, it was in there 9-12 weeks or whatever it was in there. Ran for the rest of the summer. It opened like July 1st. So it was ready for the July 4th weekend.
Great.
And good word of mouth. There was definitely people went again to see it and take their friends to go see it. That was kind of fun.
How many times did you see it in the theater when it opened?
Oh, probably half a dozen times. I would sneak in on opening weekend.
Snuck into your own movie?
Three, four times. Well, yeah, well, I
walk up to the box office and go,
that's me. I grew up in LA. And yeah. So I was friends with Sean Astin, who worked at Mann Theaters. And I was friends with all of the Mann Theater ushers and stuff. And here's the end shot of him hanging on the building.
Sam Jackson.
Oh, God, please.
There he
so we and the cast would do it too. We were with Chris Columbus and everything. On opening night, we got a limo and we went to different theaters around town and we'd snuck in the back for certain scenes or for the end and see how they liked the picture. And they all were laughing at the same, you know, slightly different areas they'd be laughing and stuff. That concludes the audio commentary, your copy, unless my skipping over damaged area completely lost our time. That is it. So another, just a quick tale is that Elizabeth Shue fought Jeffrey Katzenberg over the trailer.
Why is
that? They're done. And, they're kind of meeting, they're doing press and they're getting ready to do the release. And they bring us together to see the trailer and we watch it. And Elizabeth Shue, it needs more of this. It needs less of this. And she stands up and she is finger point wagging and basically being very, very vocal with Jeffrey Katzenberg. She is passionate about this. She's like, this is how it's got to be marketed. Wow. More of this and more of that. And they listen to her and they recut a trailer. And that's the trailer that you see, which I think is...
That's awesome.
Got this great announcer, you know. and it set it up. And the music, everything from Iggy Pop and just the blues. And it's so innocent and popcorn, you know, bubble gum, but it's not. You know, it does have the blues bar scene and yes, it's all black in the blues bar. Yeah, but the, you know, L Train sequence isn't quite. It got reviews from like an 8 from 1 to, you know, 0 or negative 2, depending on your tastes. But I think you can like it young or old, you know, and you throw kids down and watch this. Yes, they learn how to say shit and they learn how to say fuck. It's a little bad language, but nobody ever seemed to mind.
When do they hear this commissary?
It was one of the first PG-13 movies. One of the first movies to get PG-13.
I think the first was Red Dawn, though, right?
I thought it was
Wasn't Temple of Doom?
No, Temple of Doom created the PG. Temple of Doom is PG.
Oh.
Temple of Doom is why people went back.
I
want
to say Adventures of Babysitting is one of the first PG-13 releases. They fought hard to get it down from an R to a PG-13. They
said R?
Yeah, because they said anything more than two shits or one fuck is an R.
They're
like, we do not waver off. If you have more than one fuck.
Like a day.
And they go, we do have more than one fuck. We have two. And they're back to back. Don't fuck with the babysitter. Don't fuck with don't fuck with the Lords of Hell. Don't fuck with the babysitter. But she kind of pronounces it like fuck. Don't fuck with the babysitter.
And they kind of went with that.
And they went, we'll call this one instant because it's part of the same gag. But clearly they say fuck twice in a kid's movie. And PG-13. So that's recommended. If you're under 13, you can still get in, right?
Yeah. Yes, you can. But here's the thing. Back in the 80s when PG-13 came out, you could show breasts. I mean, I saw Runaway, I think, with Tom Selleck. I was like, it's PG-13, and there was boobs. I'm like, oh my God, this PG-13 is great. and you can't do that now. You can't say, I haven't heard fucking a PG-13.
Thanks for listening, everybody. They're kicking us out of the studio. You guys have a good night. We really appreciate it. I'm Keith Coogan. We got Gabe Romero, AJ LoCascio, and John Donahue. Thanks for hearing our...
I'm so sad.
Commentary. I hate wrapping it up. It's fun. Thanks for listening. You guys have a good night.
Good night. Yay.